Welcome to Film Roast.
Hi guys, welcome to another installment of Coffee Corner here on Film Roast. My name is Julia, as per usual.
And my name is Hannah.
Yes, here we are. Hannah, how are you doing today? Did you have any caffeinated beverages today?
I did. I did. I had an almond milk latte, my huge. It did not let me down, you guys. It did its job, so it got me through the workday,
which is great. That's good. That's important.
Did you have any caffeine today? Did you sweat profusely?
I tried to go. Okay, after my haircut today, there's a really good coffee shop right by the salon that I go to. And It's kind of pricey, but I was like, you know what? Feeling good today. I was really productive today. I'm going to reward myself with a giant cookie and an Americano. Ooh, yeah.
Nice.
So I went in there to try and get an Americano, and it's already really expensive. And
right.
I was trying to get my money's worth, so I ordered a grande Americano. And this girl gave me what must have been like an 8 ounce because the cup was so minuscule. But as she was handing it to me, I knew she got it wrong. And so I had overpaid now for this minuscule Americano. But I couldn't correct her because out of the corner of my eye, I saw the meter maid going to give me a ticket on my car. So I just had to like run out of there with my tiny coffee that I was mad about and avoid a ticket, which I did avoid a ticket, so that was good. But so that was my long-winded story of saying, I got some caffeine eventually. So yeah,
good for you. Good
Thanks.
For you.
Thank you.
Well, this coffee corner is going to be a little different for us because we're going to talk about something that's actually very serious. And as you all know, the events in Vegas that happened earlier this week have just kind of constantly been in the news, and we just felt like we couldn't go without saying something. So it might get emotional and it might get really real, but we just felt like it was kind of the right thing to do. So personally, for Film Roast, we are going to, anything that's in our merch shop right now, we are going to donate all of our proceeds for the entire month of October and potentially November, if anyone buys anything, to the victims of Las Vegas and that community. So if you guys feel like you want to be supportive and join us in doing that, you can visit our merch shop, filmroastshow.threadless.com, and pick up a shirt. And all the proceeds, again, will be directly donated to the victims of that tragedy. So, Julia, kind of where has your headspace been for the past few days?
My head has been in a lot of different areas. I've felt very distracted by this, and I think that's good. I think it's good to be distracted by something like this. This is not a part of normal life, but the tragic thing about this is that it actually has become part of normal life for Americans, and that is a whole other thing, and that is crazy. But because I live in Spokane, and we actually just had a school shooting.
That's right.
About, I think it was like 3 weeks ago now. And it was very weird because it was in a rural area, a rural high school. I believe there were a total of 4 teens that were shot and 1 died.
Wow.
And the shooter, you know, was like this 15-year-old boy, and he did not die. He's in custody. So it's just been really, it's been weird to have this Vegas thing going on and in the back of my mind, and drive around Spokane and see all these signs up for, like, in support of this high school. So it's just been a week of feeling so burdened.
Yeah.
And burdened on behalf of other people, and also burdened by this idea that mass shootings have become so common that it is very, very scary not to just walk around in fear.
Right.
All the time.
Right.
I mean, what have you been thinking about through all of this?
Well, I mean, you and I kind of just discussed, like, to your point, how we feel when we're even in a movie theater anymore. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. it's not like, oh my gosh, we know that something bad will happen, but it does cross your mind now, you know? Like, and that did happen in Aurora. That yeah. did happen. And so it's scary. I was actually talking to my mom and my aunt and my uncle and my dad last night over dinner, and we were kind of discussing this, and I was saying to them, you know, Columbine happened in 1999, and so we were both 8, right? And, like, I remember thinking when that happened, just, I was traumatized by that. Like, I thought that was the worst possible thing that would ever happen. In our 17 extra years of life, it's continued to happen. And that's really scary, and it's really sad. And it feels to me like a rinse repeat sort of situation where it's just like
yeah.
we get the same 24-hour news cycle that scares the crap out of us, and we get, you know, talks about it's not time to talk about gun control because right now we're mourning the victims. And it's like, you know, frankly, if you like, a lot of people probably saw what Jimmy Kimmel had said about this whole issue, and I thought he put it really well, but more or less, he was like, you know, thoughts and prayers are very respected and thank you, but that's not enough anymore. And right. I think that's how I'm feeling. And I was telling you, actually, we have a friend, one of my old roommates from college lives in Vegas. And I actually found out about the situation because she marked herself safe on Facebook. I'd woken up that day and saw, and that's how I found out. And I called her today to talk to her about it. And she was just like, the whole city is just numb. Mm-hmm. She's like, I have students. She's an athletic trainer. And now she's a teacher. And she was like, I have students who were there and they were shot. And I, you know, I have friends of friends that were there. And I looked into buying tickets to the concert myself. And when you think about it that way, you know, it's scary when it's your friend, but in reality, this is always somebody's friend, somebody's mom, somebody's son, you know, like, and that's scary. It's scary that it can happen at any moment. And it's become mm-hmm. kind of just this crazy thing that it's like, we get so sad about it. And then I feel like no action is taken. And so, you know, I'm frustrated with this whole situation. And mm-hmm. I hope that this is like kind of the last straw, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, it makes the rounds in the news cycle, and everyone thinks about it, and everyone gets really stirred up about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then inevitably something else comes up, and we get distracted, and we forget. And then we're reminded again when it happens again. And
right.
And I think you're absolutely right about it does feel like this rinse and repeat. It more and more these days, it seems like something we just wait for again. And that is exactly. so wrong.
Right.
It shouldn't be that way. And I mean, I could go on and on about stuff that has happened in our country this year that has just
mm-hmm.
left me feeling helpless
right.
to do anything about. And I think this especially is something that I can take initiative to be informed and to mm-hmm. Understand the logistics of what it takes to change
mm-hmm.
like gun laws and gun control, and like
sure
I can try my best to understand the ins and outs of all that. And yet at the end of the day, I feel so powerless. And it's
mm-hmm.
I think with Vegas, it became more of a reality that this can happen at any time to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I feel less and less protected and cared for by
mm-hmm.
the people, the leaders of our country, who I should be able to rely on to feel mm-hmm. like I am protected right. and cared for. And that's
right.
That's just very unsettling, very confusing. And not just me, like everybody. And mm-hmm. I feel like at what point is this going to happen? I don't have any connection really to anybody who was in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
you know, not, mm-hmm. not directly. So sure. it's very easy to just be removed from it. But,
right.
you know, at what point is this going to happen again?
Exactly.
And I am going to be connected to somebody, or
right.
or it's going to be me. Like, that is a terrifying thought. I don't like thinking mm-hmm. about that. But I think that's the reality of this. If like, you know, and again, it goes back to you and I were kind of talking about this before recording, but, you know, like going into the movie theater and stuff, like we also can't just walk around living in fear that this is
right.
You know, we can't go hide in our houses. So there's just this tension of like, how do I try and like not be a citizen walking around feeling like I can't go to anything or do anything.
Yeah, totally. And I can't like give you a magical formula to fix it or anything, but I feel like it's just kind of a mix of like complacency in the nation right now. And I feel like a lot of people with the rise of social media and like it could be violence on TV and it could be the fact that the NRA is involved in politics or it could be, you know, the people that we elected or it could be, I don't know. I mean, the fact of the matter is if a person, God forbid, decides to do this right now, there's no way to stop them. And I mean, I don't know if there ever will be a reality where we'll know that, because you never know what's going on inside someone's head. But what I firmly believe is that we can do a better job of educating people about this issue, about gun control, about mental illness, about how to look for signs, about how to protect yourself. Education is so important in a moment like that. And I really think it's important. And I think we could use a little bit of that in our country in a lot of aspects. The next time I see somebody stab someone, 50 people at once, I'll call for knife control. But that hasn't happened, you know, so it's not really, it doesn't really cross over to a lot of different things, you know, this is, it's tough. And, you know, I'm not a gun owner. While I respect people who own those things, and you're completely in your rights to do that, semi-automatic weapons and automatic weapons, I don't get, you know, I don't get why or how an ordinary person is allowed to own those things. I don't get that.
And that's what's so confusing about the ins and outs of who can own a gun and all that kind of stuff, because in at least in the reports that I was reading online, it doesn't sound like the shooter in Vegas actually had automatic weapons. Right. It sounds like what he was able to purchase things that made his, I think his rifle, I don't really want to get into it, but.
Right.
And again, like that just kind of goes back to what you were saying about how do we be educated on this, and how do we, it's just so hard. It's hard to even know what to say, because I just feel so at a loss. I just feel, I just don't know what to do. And I just, and I think that I have this mentality that there's nothing I can do. So then I'm like, okay, like there's nothing I can do. And I think that mentality is what continues this problem and is so problematic. In times like this, we do feel helpless. Right. And there's a sense of, okay, I'm helpless. It's not up to me. It's up to somebody else. And that's what I've really just, in light of all this, been feeling convicted about is it really up to somebody else? Like, it's going to be up to us collectively, and I'm part of the collective.
Right. And that's a really tough question to answer. You know, it's like, you know, I've been talking to you, and I talked to a couple of our other podcast friends, and it's like asking the question, what can we do? What can we do that serves a significance that really is going to make a difference? Because I feel like right now we're in this window, this very small window, where this is still a major news story and people are still very, very invested in it. And, you know, pretty soon that's not going to be true anymore. There are tons of other tragedies that have just happened, you know, Puerto Rico and Houston and Florida. And, you know, it's like, it's always something, but I think this is a real, real problem for the country. And I've heard that opinion from many gun owners in the last few days. I hope there's an answer for that. You know, I hope that at the very least somebody can say, that's in power somewhere, can say, hey, look, we're going to do something about it. You know, we're going to try this, because that's, you owe the I think you owe America that, at the least. Like, we're all sitting here afraid to go to the movies. Like,
right.
Afraid to go to the mall, afraid to go to our own school. Yeah. You know, that's not a thing that should be happening. It's just not.
For our listeners, and as a reminder, even just for myself, I think that we live in a time where, which in some ways is really good, where I think that social media makes mm-hmm. us feel very, very obligated to always be online and mm-hmm. continually be informed.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for myself, I've often felt, especially with stuff like this, I've often felt very guilty for taking a break from it,
mm-hmm.
even for like mm-hmm. a couple hours or a day, because it makes me feel like if I am not constantly understanding this and looking into this, I am doing right. everyone else a disservice. Right. And I think that it's okay to step away from all this information, mm-hmm. even for a little bit. And mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that it doesn't, that you don't care. I think you have to come back to it at some point, but
mm-hmm.
it just, I think that to a certain degree, it can be very overwhelming and it can be very much of right. a burden. And this is just mostly a reminder for myself, but to just not feel guilty about being like, you know what? I cannot mm-hmm. look at social media for like 2 hours.
Right.
I just need to reset and settle a little bit. Mm-hmm. This is a lot.
That's a whole other issue that we could talk about, is social media and kind of how information gets circulated and how false information travels very quickly. And
yes.
And the difference between real reporting and clickbait, you know, and I think that's a whole other thing, but somewhat connected to this kind of issue of complacency in America. But, you know, on a positive note, when I did talk to my friend, she is safe. The people she knows are in recovery. She said that it's been incredibly overwhelming and humbling to see the community come together. Her boyfriend and his family were donating blood, and they showed up at 7 in the morning, and they didn't actually get in to donate until 5 p.m. because there had been Whoa. So many people lined up outside of the donation center since like 2 in the morning. She That's said, amazing. You know, the second people asked for, we need trash bags, we need water bottles, we need food, people were out there bringing everything they could. Some people were bringing their dogs around to just have people pet a dog and, you know, like take their mind off it for a second. And so, you know, the thing she's telling me is like very powerful, and they really are like coming together, and they really are a community right now, and everyone's just trying to help as much as they can. And so I think that's really beautiful, mm-hmm. and a really great thing. However, you know, I wish that it didn't have to be under such an awful circumstance.
Right.
You know, I hope that this is really a wake-up call for the higher powers of the United States. I don't know who to call upon, but I do think it is a mix of everyone, mm-hmm. you know, media, and I think it's government, and I think it's education. It's everybody. You know, we can all do something. I think that's really kind of what I'm trying to say, is like all of us can be responsible for a little bit of what we do. I just hope this never happens again. It's been too much. We can only hope that it gets better. And, you know, that's kind of our driving force here today, is hope that things will get better. And, you know, the news from my friend was nice, and it made me feel good about where she's at, and cleared her headspace, and she gave her students the day off, and they were all very appreciative of that. Yeah, can only hope for the best going forward, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to be optimistic about finding a solution, being active about finding a solution.
Well,
this is heavy, man.
Yeah, very a different coffee corner for us.
Very different coffee corner.
We would be doing a disservice to not talk about this and acknowledge this.
I think so too. And if you or anyone you know was involved or knows people in Vegas or has family there, like, we just, our hearts are with you. And honestly, let us know if we can do anything. Like, we're more than happy to help. We just, you know, we're in that weird position where we don't know how, and we'll do anything we can. So again, if you guys want to help us support victims of Las Vegas, you can go to our merch shop, filmroastshow.threadless.com, and buy anything. And we will donate all the proceeds to the victims of the shooting. So,
and if you really need cheering up, Hannah will probably dance in a banana suit again. If it comes
I
to
will
that.
Definitely do that for anyone who needs that. Gladly. I will do that. And, you know, we're not politicians and we're not experts at this, but we're American citizens and this is how we feel. And I think it's good to get a kind of a pulse on what's happening. But we're also here to make you laugh and we're here to take, you know, put a smile on your face. And so I hope we can do that if you're going through a rough time. I hope this week brings you a lot better news. That's all, I guess. That's it. This is so weird for us. We're not used to talking about serious things.
We're not used to being serious. We usually end on, we're either like screaming or talking in a different accent.
Screaming, accents.
We don't know what to do, but check out our merch. We would love to be able to have you help us contribute to this relief effort and, until next time, we will see you on a happier note in our next
episode.
Yes,
much happier.
And until then, happy roasting, you guys.
Yeah, stay safe. We love all of you.